Good evening. Someone asked me recently, how do we stop sinning? I was like, I thought about it, and I was like, you know, that's why I go to church like three, you know, sometimes four times a week. You know, that's why I'm in Bible college like 6 to 10 p.m. That's why I'm working at the church. You know, that's why I like come here every opportunity I can. It's like, you know, I need to be like crying to God, like, Lord, fill me with your spirit. And like, and then through the process of sanctification, we like, you know, maybe we sin less and less, you know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Father, for this evening. Lord, thank you for drawing us together. Lord, thank you for giving us a body of believers that we can be together, Lord, in our failures, in our weaknesses, Lord, in our troubles, God. Thank you that we can hear from you. Protect us, anoint this portion, God, the rest of the night, in Jesus' name, amen. Open with me to Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46. I just want to read that with, I'm going to read it, and then I wanted to, just to keep it in mind, I'm not really going to talk about it just yet, but I just want to keep it in mind before I go to the other part. It's the parable of the hidden treasure. So it says in Matthew 13, 44, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has, and he buys that field." In the parable of the pearl of great value, in verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, in finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So just kind of keep that in mind, the idea of like something you find that is greater than everything you have at the moment, and you forsake and sell all of that for the greater treasure. So keep that in mind as we go to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 7. 2 Chronicles 17, 17 is at the top of the Bible, that's why I'm reading 17. But 16, verse 7. "At that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, 'Because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you.'" So here in 2 Chronicles, we have King Asa, who, if you read chapters 14, he actually trusts in the Lord for a battle. And in chapter 14, verse 11, Asa cries to the Lord and says, "Oh Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord, our God. We rely on you." Like, he's trusting in the Lord at this moment. This is before the seer, Hanani, you know, this is before that battle. He's trusting in God. And then later on, he has an opportunity to trust in God, and he doesn't. He trusts in the king of Syria. And this is kind of like, Pastor Schaller had spoken this morning about like remembering Egypt, right? Remembering Egypt, the things of Egypt, and then you're kind of drawn to it, or you're like remembering these good things in Egypt, and it's like we kind of make the past to be like something greater than it was. We remember these like foods that we were talking about this morning, like meat. We had meat to eat. We had, you know, like fish. We had all these things like cucumbers, and it's like, you know, Pastor Schaller said in the 9 a.m., like, maybe they didn't have that, or maybe they, you know, I was thinking, like, maybe they did have it, but it was, like, rotten, right? Like, it was not as good as you remember it. And these things, like, in our past that we maybe hold on to and we're like, you know, it was so good, those times, the good old days, or, like, the, you know we're nostalgic. We can be nostalgic. And it's like, well, hold on a second. It wasn't that good. I'm not remembering the bad things. But because of my current situation and maybe, like, what's going on in my current situation, it maybe, like, feels like it was better in the past. But it's not the case. If we're following God, if we're trusting in the Lord, if we're like seeking God, and we weren't in Egypt, like that's like, I mean, like we have the Lord. We forsake the treasure. So back to Matthew, in chapter 13, we have the forsaking of the treasure. Like, you sell the treasure, right? You sell the treasure to buy the goods to get the treasure. And it's like you sell it. You don't leave it, right? Like, he doesn't leave the goods that he had. He sells it. It's no longer his. And I think that that's kind of just like what I was thinking about, and just this idea that can we sell the things that we own, and that we no longer own it, but we find something greater, and that's Christ. And then after we find Christ, He decides whether or not, you know, what we have, and He gives us, maybe gives something back, or, you know, but it's from Him. I think that's just kind of the quick thought I had, is just like, you know, are we selling our possessions for this field that has the treasure? Are we selling it, or are we just leaving it? You know, we're just walking away from what we have, and we're going to the field, and we have the treasure in the field, and we're like, yes, this treasure is amazing. But we didn't sell everything. We still have it. We still own it. Lord, what do I still own? Could be a prayer. You know, what do I still own that I'm holding on to, that I'm not giving to the cross for You to transform, change, and resurrection life afterwards? So, thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord, for this night. Lord, thank You for speaking to us, God. Continue to speak to us, Lord, and help us to sell our possessions, Lord, to the cross, that there's resurrection after the cross, that there's death and suffering on the cross, Lord. It's painful, but we often forget the resurrection afterwards. We so often forget that there's resurrection, Lord. We anticipate resurrection in selling what we have, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, what a life this is, isn't it? Yes. Amen? Amen. What a great church. Grace Church, glorious church. Glad to be in the church. Amen. I want to read a few verses. If you would stand with me and turn to 1 Thessalonians. Three verses I want us to look at, and they really connect. As I was just thinking, sitting there, these verses really connect together. And Paul is writing to this church where he spent 3 weeks in that church, three Sabbaths. So there wasn't a long time movement. He did take some Thessalonians with him on a journey, so I think that's why the church really responded very well. But let's look at verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in, listen to these two words, much assurance. Say that, much assurance. Much assurance. As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Then it says in verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. What is it? Much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. And then chapter 2, verse 2, it says, but even after we had suffered before and were painfully or shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Much contention. So, Father, thank You tonight. Thank You that in the midst of much affliction and much contention, we have something that overrides it all, much assurance. That we have an assurance that comes from God, that when we face affliction or contention, much assurance is so much more in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We had a great time for a number of weeks, myself, Pastor Rinaldo, Pastor Eugene, and thank God for those men who steer me in the right direction when I going to the wrong gate or don't know where my luggage is and whatnot, and they're just there. Because I don't pay much attention to those things. You know, the same with whether it's a visa or whatever, but they're there. They said to me, do you know you have to get a COVID test before you get back on the plane? I said, why? I said, I have one. I have two. I have three. I have four. I think Pastor Rinaldo had six. Six tests. Between him and I, we had like 10 COVID tests. Well, somebody's making money. I'll tell you that. So I go into the doctor, and he's born again, which is really great, you know. And I'm thinking, I don't like people, like, sticking things, like, you know, in the nose and all that kind of stuff. It was like, man. So he's sitting there looking at me, and he pulls this thing out. It's this long. And I started to think about much contention, much affliction. What is that? He goes, we don't go up the nose because that doesn't work. He goes, they always tell you that you don't have it because they go up the nose. They don't go far enough. He says, this is going down your throat. Open your mouth. I'm like, I mean, I was like looking at that thing and looking at myself and thinking, you know. And then he tested it in about a few hours, and he said, you're fine. You're doing fine. And I thought, thank God that you're saved and born again, because if you weren't, we would have a small situation here. But no, it was an awesome time, regardless of those things. And I think those things are going to happen. I mean, I asked myself a question. Wow. One thing after another, one visa, one immigration officer, one border crossing, one COVID, another COVID test, another COVID test, another COVID test. And I'm like, yes, it's worth it. Why? Because we meet these precious people. Amen? We meet these precious people. We had an opportunity to actually connect with 100 GGWO churches. I didn't go to all of them. They came where we were. Which is a little bit better. It's a little bit better than like trampling all over the place. We had we have about 80 to 82 churches in East Africa alone, another 18 or so in Southern Africa. And what a great time, because, you know, in their minds, they're wondering, and they love it. They love watching online. They love when they can take a look at classes, and they all have classes, you know. But like to see people face to face. Just to see them face to face, to me, was so incredible. And I think I've mentioned it before, but there's this one couple, and they came to our church. And I've said this story before, but I have to say it again because I want it to sink into my own mind. They came as orphans from the country of Chad, like really kids, you know, orphans, 11, 12 years old. They were raised in our orphanage that's in Uganda. And then they went to... they were in Christian school, then they went to Bible school, then they got married, and now they're on their way to Chad as missionaries, which is a remarkable story. If you don't think so, snap, you know, try to see if you're alive. No, it was just amazing to see these two and whatnot, and the direction that they're going in with their lives, and how humble and meek, and just coming from little, you know, children right through school, Christian school, Bible school, getting married, and then being sent out as missionaries. And by the way, if it wasn't for this church's giving, they wouldn't be able to get to Chad. They wouldn't be able to live in Chad. Because through offerings and missionary, money that's supporting them and is sending them, that's the only reason they're going. That's the reason that it's behind them. So thank God that we are behind missions. And I love this. As Paul is speaking to the Thessalonians, he's talking about having much assurance. And he's got much assurance because he's got the Word of God. It was three things he mentioned. The Word of God, the Gospel of God, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we understand deep in our souls that we have God's Word, we have the gospel, the message of the gospel, and we have the Holy Spirit's power, that gives us tremendous assurance that we don't walk around being intimidated by people. It's very easy for the world, the flesh, and the devil to intimidate us, whether we're at our place of work or on the street where we live, or we meet people, you know, get in the midst of maybe people that have known you for years, and all of a sudden we can find ourselves kind of going backwards. Every one of us can find ourselves living with human reason and fear and doubts and anxieties about what is going to take place. But the Apostle Paul says, regardless of what's happened in my life, I've got much assurance. And you know, I read something today, which is interesting to me. was to me anyway, in Romans 1, Philippians 1, 1 Thessalonians 1, and 1 Corinthians 9, the word gospel is mentioned 46 times in those four chapters. Gospel, and sometimes maybe about 10% of the time, is the word preaching. And I was thinking, what is on this man's mind? What is on the mind of the Apostle Paul? He's so overwhelmed that God saved him from hell. Great message this morning, you know, about how God delivered us, Luke 16. And so overwhelmed, you know, it's so easy to get caught up with what I have, what I don't have, and what I'm trying to keep, whatever it may be. And what should be taking place, and what's going on, and how come it's not going like this, and what's wrong with the government this, the country that, going on, situations in families and marriages. But you know how vital it is when our mind begins to focus on the gospel, the simple gospel. Because the gospel is very easily understood. It's the person of Christ and the work of the cross. That's the gospel, the person of Christ and the work of the cross. That's good news, glad news, glorious news, great news. You know what's bad news? The person of me and the work that I do in the flesh. Me and what I do outside of God. That's called bad news. And when I understand what kind of bad news that is, who I am outside of the new man in Christ, and what I've done outside of the new man in Christ, that's pretty bad, depressing news. But then I shift out of that, and I shift into who he is and what he's done. Hallelujah. Are you here tonight? It's glorious. It's amazing. It's the gospel. We're down at Aldi's yesterday, you know, and I love Baltimore. I love how people respond. We had great responses yesterday from people. And just giving people the gospel, what a privilege. I'm waiting for somebody to kick us out of there. But it hasn't happened yet. And we stand right in front of the door sometimes, like too many of us. And the employers go in and out, and they're smiling and laughing. And they're probably thinking it's great that somebody's here. Because maybe that with God's presence here, some things that could happen won't happen. And we are there with the message of the gospel. We're in the city. We're working with young people in the Bible clubs and all these things that are going on. And we're giving people simply that message of the gospel. What else is there in my life to do? I don't know. Well, what am I going to do with my life? I was thinking about that the other day. What would I do if it wasn't for God and the message of the gospel and the church? Sit home and watch some box all day long and eat macaroni till it came out my ears? What are you going to do? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? He says, we've got much assurance. And when I live in much assurance, I don't live in my insecurities, my fears, what's going to happen in life. You know, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose a soul? Do you realize that one person you pray for, one person you talk to about Christ, one person that responds, whether it's now or 10 years from now, one person is worth more than anything anybody could ever attain to in this life? Recognition, power, riches, money, high offices in the lands, it's absolutely nothing compared to a saved soul. Are you with me? And by the way, I have a problem with talking to people about the gospel. Did you ever think that maybe you could ask God to help? I mean, here's a prayer. I'm praying a prayer. Lord Jesus, really pray that you give me somebody today that would be open for the gospel. God says, no, I'm not interested in your prayer. I'm interested in you getting more money. No. Is God interested in souls? Yes. Hello? Yeah, so why wouldn't he answer that prayer? You try a prayer and see if in this week God doesn't bring somebody in your face that wants to know, like, why are you always so happy and joyful? And if you're not, just rebound. Okay? Why are you so happy and joyful all of the time? And what's going on? Don't you know the world that we're living in? No, I don't know the world that we're living in. Well, that's hyper-spiritual. No, it's not. It's just plain spiritual. It's I know Jesus Christ, and I know what he has done, and I know who I am in him, and I know what I'm doing through him, and I'm excited about it. And Paul's saying, I got much assurance. I am filled with the assurance of God. I'm not assured in my own self. He's this like small Jewish guy that spoke with a squeaky voice. Maybe he could be very, you would never be intimidated by him per se. And yet he says, I've got incredible assurance. And that's one of the great things that's lacking in Christianity today. People having assurance of who he is and what he's done and who they are and what they can do. Are you with me? Are you sure? Somebody said to me, hey, I mean, you're still doing this? Aren't you old? What is old? What does that mean? Huh? Aren't you old? It's like coming out of Satan's mouth. Aren't you old? No, you're old. You're an old serpent. And you live in an old world with an old sin nature that you're attacking. There's a lot of olds regarding you. There's a lot of news regarding me. N-E-W. New. I'm new. Amen? Oh, aren't you getting old? What you doing? Well, I said, I had a plan when I was a certain age. Every decade, my wife and I make a new plan. I'm in my 70 to 80 plan now. Then there's another one that's 80 to 90. And then there's another one, God permitting, is 90 to 100. I'd like to be preaching the gospel at 100 years old. I don't know if I make any sense, but that doesn't really matter much. Huh? You could sit there and drool, and if you were smiling and they knew you were saved, maybe somebody could get delivered. Are you listening? Huh? Much assurance. Much assurance. The world is trying to attack us to get us to live in insecurity, and it's being used by the devil to do it. That we would be insecure. Thinking about that, you know, like some people, I heard somebody said to me recently, I can't go to Bible school. I don't have any education. I said, who needs it? Education? It's okay, but you can learn the Bible, right? You know what Philippe Sirajee's background is? He went to second grade and he quit. No, I'm just joking. Huh? No, he's got much assurance. He went to third grade. All right. Third grade. I hated school. I was getting kicked out of classes when I was in fourth grade. Brought my dog into the class one time, and the teacher said, the dog has to leave. I said, why don't you leave? I was not, in fourth grade or 12 years old, I was a miserable person to be around. Okay, don't think anything different. Much assurance. We've got assurance that the words that we speak are eternal. And they can be used to change lives. A person can get pulled out of darkness into his marvelous light. What assurance we've got. I don't stand insecure. Analyzing everything I say. Did I say that right? Did I speak that right? Did I explain that right? I'm not an apologetic. I'm not an apologist. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just like, can I tell you about how God loves you? Well, what do you mean by that? I said, I don't really know a lot about it, but I know he loves me. If he can love me, he definitely can love you. Much assurance. This assurance in our lives, it takes us through much affliction. You say, why do you have to bring that part of the message in? Because it's in the Bible. Much affliction, the word is thlipsis. Trouble on every side. Pressure. You know what I'm talking about? No, you don't. If you live in much assurance, the pressure doesn't touch you. Hello? Don't let it touch you. I remember in Thessaloniki when we were there. We were there. I went there 5 times. And every time Pastor Tom said, you're doing the preaching because it's better that you get arrested than I get arrested and get kicked out. I said, I'm not so sure I agree with that kind of understanding, that thinking. It's better that I get arrested. He goes, yeah, you've been arrested so many times. What's the difference? You know jail. I said, exactly, I do. It's only 8 times. And it's no big deal. You know? Are you laughing at me? Huh? And you couldn't believe it. You would stand to preach, and people would attack you while you're preaching. They'd run right at you trying to punch you. I had 2 big guys with me, Don Benoit and Jim Henry. And they took care of that thing coming. You know? I had one time a guy said to me, he's behind me screaming like a demon. He's yelling and screaming. He goes, give me the mic! Give me the mic! He was screaming, give me the mic. He said it like 10 times. I said, you want the mic? I said, here you go. Bang. right in the forehead. He went down. No, I wasn't ordained. So I just said, you want, no, he kept asking for the mic, so I gave it to him. He didn't say where he wanted it. I know, go home and you'll talk about this and say he's, something's there, you know. It's just the way I was raised, maybe. I don't know what it was. But much affliction, pressure, people coming at us all the time, trouble everywhere. It was incredible. We had Randy Bertocchi with us. He was an amazing man of God, still is. And he used to do a mime, and he played the devil. And Rich Mahoney was Jesus. And when Jesus appeared, the devil fled. But Randy Bertocchi would run off the pier into the ocean. I don't know if you remember that. He'd run off the pier, right, Kathy? Off the pier into the ocean. I'm thinking, is he out of his mind? But it was very effective. The devil's drowning, you know? But it was incredible. It was incredible, the affliction and the contention. It wasn't a little. It was much affliction, much contention. I'll never forget, we went to Bulgaria, and we did a mime in Bulgaria in Sofia. This is in 1980, 81. I don't know if you know, that's 40 years ago, what Bulgaria was like. It was a police state. When they arrested us, they took us to the police station, and they brought me into a room, and they showed me cameras that had every street in the capital city on a camera, on a television set. That's the kind of place it was. They said, what are you doing here with this? Do you have any Bibles? I had 7 Bibles on my body, taped everywhere. I said, no. I wasn't lying. He said Bible, singular. I had Bibles, so I wasn't lying. But contention bringing the gospel to China. Contention, even in trips that we take, no matter where it may be, is going to be contention. There's affliction, and maybe that can be like centered at me, my old sin nature, things that I'm going through in life. And then there's much contention. And that can happen. It can happen in a relationship. It can happen in a marriage. There can be affliction and contention. In churches, sometimes that those things go on. In bringing the gospel into all the world. The reason why, by the way, if a church doesn't have trouble, it's because they're not a threat to the devil. Did you hear me? If a church or a Christian isn't experiencing a problem, it's most likely that they are no threat to the kingdom of darkness, so he doesn't bother with them. He already owns them. Oh, sorry about that. There's going to be much affliction and much contention. It's the way it is. Paul talked about it. But the greatest thing is I've got what? Much assurance. I've got the assurance of the Holy Spirit. I've got the assurances of the promises of God. I got the assurance of grace. I got the assurance of the finished work. I got the assurance of God's mercy, which rejoices over judgment. I've got such assurance. I've got assurance I'm in this body of Christ with these incredible believers with a vision and a purpose. What assurance I've got. If I wasn't in this church, I would be like a flaming coward, most likely, running away. But because of this ministry and this church and the Spirit and the Word and the finished work and the eternal purpose and knowing there's a heaven and a hell, I've got what? And you've got what? Much assurance. And that assurance can permeate our souls. It can control our mind, our emotions, our will, our conscience, our self-image. And before you know it, we're walking around with an assurance that can handle any kind of much affliction or any of the much contention. Is the much affliction and much contention going to be there? Yeah. He kept talking about joy in this portion of Scripture, joy of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he had such assurance from God. We've got assurance. We have eternal life. Amen? We're going to live forever. I think about no matter what's going on down here, I'm going to live forever with God, with no sin nature, no bad knees. No problems physically. No need for glasses. Hallelujah. Won't have to put socks on there either. Have an angel do it for me if I can't bend over. Get a new body. Wow. What a life. What a great hope we have in heaven. Being together forever. Can you imagine? It's going to be incredible. And I have such assurance of eternal life. We had a song in Ghana. It was called, I have eternal life in view, in view. I have eternal life in view. My Savior's gone to prepare me a place. I have eternal life in view. Let's live in the assurance of God. Amen. Yeah, there's contention. Yeah, there's affliction. Yeah, there's an old sin nature. Yeah, there's things happening all the time. Yeah, there's trials. Yes, there's tests. They had it. They had it. They were driven out of Thessaloniki in 3 weeks. Driven out. Enemies followed them everywhere. And even the ones from one city followed them to the next. But you know what? Much assurance. Much assurance. And it's so great to see the believers that we have in greater grace in these countries like Zambia, Zimbabwe, in southern Africa, and Rwanda. We have churches, a church in Kigali, Rwanda, and Sudanese believers. You should see these Sudanese believers. I love them. I said, what do you do when you get hungry? There's no food in Sudan. They said, we eat tree bark. We boil tree bark, and it's nutritious. I thought, we got a lot of trees here. We ever have a problem, I'm just going to boil tree bark. And they've got so much assurance in what God has given them. And Kenyans, Pastor Ronaldo's in Kenya today. The Kenyans and all these people from Eastern and Southern Africa. And the Armin family, Pastor Chris and Julie and their children. And just to see how much joy they're having, how much assurance they have that they're in the will of God. What are you doing in Africa? How long are you going to be here for? I don't know. It could be 30 years, 40 years. And they have such an assurance as they raise their family and their kids overseas. And some people would say, well, you know, what kind of education are they going to have? They're going to have God, the one who can teach anybody anything. They're going to have Jesus. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learning of God. And what assurance they have as a family. And to see the Slivas there. And just see how much they're enjoying the work of God. Is there contention? Is there affliction? Of course there is. Of course there is. But they've got so much assurance from God. And they live in that and they go forward. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.